Order, let the record reflect that it is April 17th, 2018. The time is 4:55. We have a quorum to do business. Senator Hoffman, Senator Stedman, myself, Senator Bishop, and Crackleberg on Senate Records, Ben Manley on the teleconference network. So you know the cell phone drill. We have HB 374 relating to on-bill financing by utilities for certain energy efficiency and conservation improvements. Rep. Wool and his staff, Rob Earl, will present the bill. And Rep. Wool, if you'd come up, you and your aide, Mr. Earl, put yourselves on the record, opening comments, and then a brief sectional, and 3:55, excuse me. Time is 3:55, and I apologize. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Adam Wool from District 5 in Fairbanks, and with me is my staff, Member Rob Earl. Thank you for hearing HB 374, and thank you, members of the committee. HB 374 is similar to the PACE legislation that went through the legislature last year, which was a commercial energy efficiency bill. This one's primarily for residential. It would allow a utility to voluntarily create an on-bill financing program to help customers finance energy improvements. On-bill financing program would allow a utility customer to borrow money for an energy improvement and then repay it through their utility bill. Utility can finance the program themselves or borrow the money from a bank. You know, this will be no cost to the state. Utilities can cover the cost of the program by charging a slightly higher interest rate on the loans to customers than the rate the utility is paying to the bank. The improvement must utilize renewable energy or include switching to a more efficient device or a fuel that does not increase greenhouse gas emissions. HB 374 will be particularly useful as the Interior Energy Project in Fairbanks expands its reach. A large number of Fairbanks residents choose to convert from oil to natural gas. This will help in the conversion. A lot of people were surveyed and wanted to convert, but the price was too much all at once, and so this will enable the new gas utility to loan them the money, and they can pay it back every month on the bill, and hopefully every month they'll be saving money as well. Examples of energy improvements could be adding a solar panel, upgrading energy efficiency to a new water heater, converting from oil to gas, or using district heat or steam. If it's available, you can convert to a heat conversion, heat exchanger. An individual utility can choose which types of improvements they want to use, and they can also choose not to do a program if they don't want to. Again, it's entirely voluntary. HB 374 provides an optional tool for utilities and their customers to lower energy costs and increase air quality, something that's a lot of concern in certain parts of the state, especially in Fairbanks. And with that,
thank
you. Can do the sectional. Or
Rob, if you could give us a high-level sectional brief, that'd be fine, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, Staff Representative Wall. Section 4205750, this allows the utility to enter into an on-bill financing agreement to finance energy projects. The building must be occupied in which that's being modified. The interest rate must be fixed on the loan, and the balance may be paid at any time without penalty. Subsection E says that Representative Wold has said that the utility can choose the customer and the systems that are in the program. Section 4205751, a meter conservation charge may be used to recover costs. And subsection B, a utility may recover costs from a subsequent purchaser of the property. Subsection C, the conservation charge must be shown as a separate line item on a customer's bill. D, the utility may treat failure to pay the conservation charge as failure to pay to the entire bill. Subsection E, the money collected by the utility may not be taxed as revenue. F, the billing and collection of the meter conservation charge does not subject the utility to regulation as a financial institution. Subsection 4205752 When a utility enters into a financing agreement, they must file notice when entering the agreement and notice when the agreement has been paid off in full. 4205753, the utility may recover costs from the subsequent purchaser. Section 4205754 is rental property, and the utility may only use on-bill financing agreement when the landlord is responsible for the entire utility bill. 4205755, subsection A, the utility may contract with a third party to finance the costs of the energy improvement. Subsection B, if the third party installs the energy conservation system, the utility is not liable for these functions. C, the utility contracts with a third party to perform administrative or financing functions. In that case, the third party is not liable for the energy conservation project. Subsection D, the provisions in B and C above may not be construed to impair the rights of the utility customer against any parties involved. And the last section is definitions. The energy conservation system is defined as a fuel switching system that does not increase greenhouse gas emissions and is either more efficient or cheaper. And the meter conservation charge means a charge placed on utility customer's utility bill to recover costs related to the on-bill financing agreement. And lastly, the on-bill finance agreement is defined as the agreement entered into under the first section of the bill.
I'll start with the first section. I have a question. 4205750, I'll get it kicked off here. The interest, building must be occupied and not under initial construction to be eligible. Can you expound on that? Because I got a scenario I'd like to talk to you about.
To the chair, basically any building that's not under initial construction is eligible. It could be a church, a nonprofit, a private residence.
Okay, so my question is, building must be occupied and not under initial construction to be eligible for the loan. So what if it's an owner-build residence and you don't have the floor down, and that the best time to put the boiler in is when you don't have the floor down? You know, it's a pain putting a boiler in a basement. If it was a owner-financed, owner-build home construction or a contracted contractor-build construction, wouldn't we want them to be eligible to take advantage of this loan if that's what the owner wanted in the home?
To the chair, it's more for conversions. I think it's designed more for that. So if it was like if the building was under initial construction and they were installing the first energy system, I don't think it would be eligible.
Okay. I got some more, but I'll yield to my colleagues. Seeing no questions. All right, I got another. Okay, so on section 4205755, third parties, is Senator Hoffman? I have a question. Is Bethel got regulated utilities? Are there any sewer, water?
AVAC. The other ones are just city owned.
Okay. Because I was just thinking, I mean, we can fix that. I was just thinking out. Sure.
Where does the utility get their money to lend?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, very good question. Thank you. Under this bill, the utility could use their own money, but more likely they would get it from a financial institution or possibly a municipality. If I may, Mr. Chair, I can run through a brief. Maybe an example would be a good idea.
We like examples.
So, say someone in Fairbanks wants to install solar panels on their home. In order first for that to be possible, Golden Valley Electric would have had to start a on-bill financing agreement, have it in place. Secondly, they would have had to include solar panels as a eligible project. And then the individual in Fairbanks could enter into this agreement and say they borrow $5,000 for 10 years from the utility. The utility would most likely borrow a lump sum from a local financial institution, say $3 million, and then they would probably charge a slightly higher, although it's not spelled out in the legislation, they would probably charge a slightly higher interest rate to the customer than they were charged by the bank in order to pay for the program. But if it was a $5,000 improvement for 10 years, I think that would be about $48 a month that would be added on to the customer's utility bill.
Senator Hoffman.
And this net result would be lower costs to the customer, but more importantly, lower cost to the utility. So if the utility does this, in the long run, they earn less money.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's an interesting question.
If that's the case, what incentive does the utility have to do this if in the long run everybody goes through this and the net result is there's a 10% reduction to the customer, and that may be for $20,000, and they do it for 2,000 customers, and the net result is 2,000 customers times 20,000 net reduction of revenue to the utility. Why is the utility so interested in doing this?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, one thing is if the utility was close to having to build another generation plant, this could obviate that need. Also, I think it could lead to lower rates for customers by the utility, which they're always looking to do, I would hope.
I can see that for a cooperative, but not for a utility that is, or a municipal utility, but not one that's privately owned.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hoffman, those are good questions, and rural utilities especially have a certain fixed cost, and if they're selling less electricity, then they basically have to sell it for more to recover their fixed costs. A cooperative doesn't have the same sort of profit incentive, and they may want to lower the rates for the ratepayer. And if rural utility found this was financially a disadvantage, they would choose not to do it, and there's no obligation to do it. But there may be a generation problem. There may be peak loads. They may want people to produce power during certain times of the day. This financing could be used for a storage device. If they want to have a battery, they could produce electricity and store it in the battery and then use it during peak hours. It may not be for every utility, and especially a smaller rural utility.
And it's totally voluntary.
Yeah. Totally voluntary.
Thank you. All right. And seeing no other questions, we're going to have public comment now. If there's no other comments from the bill sponsor. And let's see, who was in here first? I think Mallseed.
Can I defer to Mr. Collins? Because I think mine will make more sense after he speaks.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sir, come up and put yourself on the record and try to keep you to about 3 minutes if you can and wrap up.
Okay. Thank you, Senators, for hearing me today. My name's Stuart Cohen, and I live here in Juneau at 725 Fifth Street. And I'm here representing Interfaith Power and Light. One of the tasks that we've undertaken is to implement a program that replaces inefficient electric and oil heating systems with air source heat pumps. So in answer to your question, what we are trying to do is bring more customers to the electric company. What is a heat pump? A heat pump is sort of like an air conditioner that can also heat. It's 2 to 3 times more efficient than electric baseboard heat or oil heat. They're so efficient that they reduce people's heating bills by 40% to 70%, and they generate enough savings to pay for themselves in 4 to 6 years. It's a technology that's ideal for Southeast Alaska, the South Central Coast, and the Aleutians. A simple one here costs about $4,100 to install for a house of, say, 1,500 square feet or less. We put together a team that modeled the potential impact of heat pumps on Juneau's economy. We modeled 8,900 residential structures out of Juneau's total of 10,236 private buildings, and we based our model on conversations with local heating contractors, homeowners, and a group called Efficiency Maine, which is a state agency that helps its citizens save money through energy efficiency. What we found was that if Juneau converted all of the 8,900 homes, mobile homes, and condos that we modeled, the energy savings would be nearly $10 million a year. In other words, our community gets $10 million richer just by using these heat pumps. If we added in apartments and commercial and government buildings, I imagine the annual savings would be between $20 and $30 million. That's a very good thing for Juneau, and the same model applies to Sitka that has an underutilized hydro project, Ketchikan, Kodiak, and many other communities. And incidentally, since Juneau and the communities that are named are powered by hydroelectric or wind energy, it also zeroes out a large part of their carbon footprint. In my research on this model, one thing became clear. A reliable, secure financing system is critical, and that's what this bill addresses. If you have a low income, it's hard to come up with $4,000 in savings to install a heat pump. Likewise, if you're a church or a business with limited funds, or you'd like to get a heat pump, but you're not sure how long you'll be living in your house, it's hard to commit to that investment even though you know the benefits. This wonderful bill addresses that. By enabling third-party financing and by putting it on the utility bill and making it transferable, it reduces the risk for both the borrower and the lender. It's flexible enough to help people all over our very diverse state. So this is the kind of smart bill that everybody in this committee can go home and tell their constituents that this is what government is supposed to be doing. It costs nothing, it compels nothing, it constricts nothing. It just empowers Alaskans to make practical, money-saving improvements to their home, their business, or their church as they see fit. Thanks very much.
Thank you for those comments. Seeing no questions. Thank you. Malstein, if you want to come up, if this is the right time to put yourself on the record, we'd appreciate your comments. Thank you. Name for the record, please.
I'm Carolyn Malseed. I'm the priest at St. Brendan's Episcopal Church. I'm also a member of Juneau Interfaith Power and Light with Mr. Cohen. And I'm on the standing committee of our diocese, which with I work with people through around the diocese. So I'm pretty much aware of many of the issues that face other communities as well as our own. I am in favor of this, this bill on two counts. The first is, I think that most of you are aware that this is a very expensive place to live. Alaska has high costs of everything from fuel to boxes of cereal. I'm aware that a number of people in my own community have left Alaska in the last few years because they can't afford to stay here. So I think that this is one option that might make Alaska a little bit more affordable for some of the folks who live here and are retiring and can't afford to, or don't want to have to leave, but are finding they can't afford to stay here. The other point I wanted to make is that religious congregations around this state tend to be small. My own congregation has 70 people, of which 20 are under 18, and we're one of the larger Episcopal churches in the state. Most denominations have pretty small congregations, and they tend to have really old buildings. In my denomination, the cost of heat makes up the majority of the budget for most of their most of the annual budget for each church. Many of them don't have clergy on site for that reason. The religious congregations provide a lot of services to their communities. They provide meeting spaces, they provide social assistance, they provide emotional support, and not just for people of their own religion, but of all the people in their communities. So this bill would would offer the option of freeing up some of the denominational budgets to offer more services to the communities and to enable the congregations to care better for their buildings, to have to avoid having to replace those buildings, and to be able to improve the quality of life of being in that building. Those are the only 2 points I really have to make.
Thank you for your comments, and I would say that you're 100% accurate, and I think last week the President of the United States signed an executive order asking faith-based organizations to do more for underprivileged people. So thank you for those comments.
Thank you for hearing me.
All right. Next up, we have Jean Terrio from ADA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jean Terrio on behalf of ADA. Since I worked at AEA a number of years ago, I have been tracking potential federal sources of funding. And to Senator Hoffman's question, I have kept in touch with the gentleman at the Rural Utility Services with the USDA. I touched base with him about a week ago to make sure that with the last federal budget reauthorization, a couple of funds that I was tracking had in fact been reauthorized, and found out that they had been. One of them that I spoke about last year with respect to the PACE legislation is the Rural Energy Savings Program. The regulations for that program talk specifically about a looking for a repayment mechanism, and I'll just quote that, that is, shall be repaid through charges added to an electric bill for the property. So this on-bill mechanism is one that is written right into the regulations of that particular program. And it talks about that repayment mechanism being an appropriate risk mitigation feature for the lending. And so that one, there was funding in the most recent federal budget to re-up that. The state of South Carolina, I believe, was one of the first states to qualify for a competitive grant through that program, and the legislation before you today was patterned after the legislation in South Carolina. Another source of funding is the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Loan Program, also offered by USDA. One of the things that's hardwired into the regulations for that particular loan program is fuel switching. And as the prime sponsor of the legislation has indicated, that's one of the things that is incorporated in here. So for the Interior Energy Project in Fairbanks, switching from fuel oil to natural gas is specifically mentioned in here. Or if you're switching from electric heat to ground source heat pump or air source heat pump, that would be switching to a source of energy that has a lower emission. So again, one of the things that a federal source of money is looking for. As I touched base this year, again, just a couple of weeks ago, the individual at USDA highlighted a couple of other programs, which I believe are new. One of them is the High Energy Cost Grant Program. Written right into this language is that the entities that qualify, specifically listed, is Alaska Native corporations are eligible. Cooperatives are eligible, and it specifically talks about renewable energy and also utilization or expanding systems for use of natural gas. And then finally, there is an electric infrastructure loan and loan guarantee program, which is another source of federal funds for the energy systems themselves to expand the reach of their systems. So we believe there are a number of sources of federal funds that, depending on the program that's put together, both the PACE legislation that was passed last year and this legislation allows mechanisms for utilities to put in place that are very attractive and will actually help their applications score well as they go and make application for federal funds. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm available to answer any other questions.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It looks to me like this bill is targeted to help incentivize Fairbanks to build out the natural gas, and which isn't bad, and I don't oppose that at all, because I think, from what I understand, doesn't Fairbanks have trouble trying to get that conversion?
Well, through the chair, Senator, The conversion rate is a concern, and as the price of oil has come down, the delta between the delivered price of natural gas and fuel oil has gotten smaller. Right now, the delivered price of natural gas per BTU is lower than fuel oil, and so we believe over time that it will remain to be lower, and perhaps that delta will open up. But if you are a home that has to do a complete conversion, which could be $10,000 to $12,000, an ability to stretch that conversion price over a long period of time, perhaps access low interest capital, have the obligation transfer if you sell your home. Those are all things that we believe will help people, incent people. But we have, the prime sponsor has worked with other areas of the state to make sure that the interest here in Juneau would be incorporated in the bill, allowed under the bill. So we tried to make it a tool that, while the motivation of the prime sponsor might be Fairbanks, it's a tool that would be utilized or can be utilized across the state.
Thank you, Representative Terrio and Senator Stebbin. Thanks for bringing that point up, because if we get a gas line, there's 5 takeoff points along the route for expansion of gas. And so it's just another, appears to be another good tool in the toolbox as an option.
And Mr. Chairman, just one other question that Senator Hoffman asked about, you know, whether the utility would utilize it if it actually ended up in lower sales of electricity. And I, again, having worked at AEA, I know there are some communities that are blessed with a hydro source. But as the community expands, they get to the point where to hook up a couple more houses, now they have to fire up the diesel plant. And the cost of that, running that diesel plant, just doesn't flow to those last, you know, the last customer hooked up. It then gets spread across the whole community. So by utilizing a tool like this, a community may be able to, you know, save and spread those that hydro energy to more customers, so they're still selling all of their available energy, but just able to serve more customers.
Thank you, Senator Stebbin.
So follow up. You know, I don't have any real issues with this bill. I think it's a good idea to try to come up with some way of helping the families finance these conversions that are coming. And clearly, Fairbanks is a 23 cents, roughly a kilowatt, 20 cents a kilowatt, and got some challenges up there that other communities don't face. But one of the things that I've noticed in my region is we've had conversions away from oil. It decreases the oil consumption, which increases the price, and it's quite the ongoing discussion at City Hall and around the larger commercial buildings around town when they talk about electrical conversion of their boilers and the impact it has on the other fuel users. So it's not as clean as, you know, you move over to another fuel and that fuel you left stays constant. It's also a dynamic process on that side.
It is true, Senator, and that's one of the things that the only way to not have that potential is just to freeze the status quo. And if the determination is the status quo is not acceptable, there's always some shifting around, certainly.
Thank you. Thank you, Terrio, Representative Terrio, and now Gene Terrio. Thank you. Duff Mitchell, you're in the queue. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Duff Mitchell from Juneau, Alaska, and I'm managing director of Juneau District Heating, and I wear some other hats, but that's who I'll primarily testify today. I'd like to testify in support of this bill. I think it's smart legislation. One point that hasn't been brought up is that the state of Alaska has an energy policy that we passed in 2010. It says we'll be 50% renewable by 2025. I think that's kind of aggressive, but nonetheless, it's still a goal. And 15% energy efficiency on a per capita basis from 2010 to 2020. This bill doesn't cost anything from the state pocket, and it's a tool that's in a toolbox. Whether you use it or not as a utility, it's still there to use. I think a point was brought out. A lot of people would like to have energy efficiency, and they would like to save money. They like to take that extra $50 a month and spend money on food or send Johnny to basketball camp, but they can't come up with that first $5,000 to do that energy efficiency. And I think this is a cool tool for utilities to be able to do on-bill financing and to pay for those efficiencies out of the matter. So it's voluntary on the utilities. You know, heat pumps are Alaska technology. We have the Seward Sea Life Center. We have the Ted Stevens Research Center. We have an explosion of air source heat pumps. And hopefully these air source heat pumps are taking off so well in Sitka that they'll use up some of the Blue Lake capacity that they're trying to utilize. So I would just like to say that, you know, I think that not to repeat what some other people have said, but I think this is a good legislation. It doesn't cost the state anything. It helps multiple regions, as we heard. It can help Fairbanks with their situation. It can help Southeast Alaska. It can help other regions as they, you know, as a tool in dealing with their local needs.
Thank you. Senator Stedman.
Speaking of the two-edged sword, as we move down the energy savings ladder to put in heat pumps, well, we found we were successful at that in the community of Sitka, but we also dropped our electric consumption because we had a lot of conversion of direct electric baseboard to the heat pumps. So as the city incentivized heat pumps, they lost sales in the utility.
Well, we've seen
it's not an easy solution.
Well, economies are not easy, and market forces work, and market forces aren't always clean. There's going to be losers and winners. I would dare say that the Sitka utility should have been targeting the oil-fired Toyos and the oil-fired boilers and moving them to air source heat pumps, and then they would have grown the pie instead of making the pie more efficient, so to say, and shrinking the pie. But I do agree with you. In Juneau, we have seen 5% growth in this last year of electric. We've had heating degree days that are normal, so we're back to normal. But we've had an explosion of air source heat pumps. We've had electric vehicles. We've also had some marijuana growing or some agricultural growing operations. But we have seen electrical consumption increase in Juneau, and I can't say which variables are contributing to what. But I empathize with that we need to grow, and markets need to change. But I do think that the efficiency aspects helps the consumer, and I can't fix all the economics, and none of us can. But, you know, we're trying to move forward with the state, with the technology, and I just ask for some support. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, public testimony is closed. Before we close, I'd just like to bring the committee's members' attention this letter and thank the bill sponsor for today, and I apologize to the committee. We're busy. Senator Hoffman's trying to bring us to a close. And everybody knows that, sitting in the room at this time. I'd like to thank everybody for staying with us and got this first meeting out of the way. We are going to meet tomorrow at 3:30, but we, senators, we just had a presentation by Graphite One, Senate Bill 203 from the senator from Golovin, and we heard some concerns from the region. Graphite One did go out in the region and met with individual communities. This is a response to their trip out there. This is just into the record on that bill, and there be no further action taken on that bill this year. So with that being said, we are adjourned at 4:30.